Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. My name is Louis Mendez. I hope you guys were well on your Sunday morning. On this week's show, then, we'll be looking back at yesterday's 2-0 home defeat against Bolton Wanderers. Successive defeats now for the Addicts. Bolton's fifth win in a row against Charlton as well. To mull over that one with me, first up, top right, is Nathan Moeller. How you doing, Nath?
How's it going, mate? Yeah, living the dream. We go again.
Not another 0 points on the board, unfortunately. Yep. And also on the bottom of the screen, back from one of our many holidays, is Sue Gallop. Hey, dear Sue.
I'm very good. Thank you very much, boys. It's good to be back, I think.
It's good to have you back. Well, you've had the same effect that Nathan coming back did, is that you bought us a defeat, unfortunately. But there we go. So, as I said, we're going to look back at yesterday's game with the Trotters. We'll hear the goals shortly. We're also, of course, going to hear the reaction from the Addicts boss, Michael Appleton, who is obviously getting used to dealing with losing now, having had such a good unbeaten start. We've lost our last two now under Michael. We'll hear his thoughts on the performance, on some team selection. I asked him bits and pieces about, I asked him, yesterday was a benchmark game, wasn't it, for us, you know? What does that mean? How does that mean we lie compared to, you know, Bolton, who are probably a top six side, if not a top three side, which is what Michael Appleton has been saying. Now, we've also got a guest fan joining us later on, Daryl Chamberlain, who is a Charlton supporter, also a local journalist, runs the Greenwich Wire site. So obviously we'll talk football, but also we'll touch a little bit on the parking situation that's going to rear its head up in the SC7 shortly. Daryl will be the expert on that one. He'll fill us in a little bit on what's happening. If there's any way to stop it, that sort of stuff. We want to hear from you guys as well. Loads of you in the chat already. Ace Saunders says up the Charlton Live. Chris is in there saying Appleton won't last the season. It's how we roll at Charlton. Yeah, morning to Spam, Fish, to Paul, to Andrew, to Ray, to All Hell Let Loose. There's loads of you in there. Martin, Keith, Dudley, Paul. Yeah, just get your messages in. Let us know what you made of yesterday's show. Yesterday's game, I should say, showing. What needs to change for Tuesday? Of course, we've got Wigan, another back-to-back game for us. So let us know what you think needs to change ahead of the trip to the DW Stadium. Before we hear the goals then, Nath, all right, benchmarking exercise. How do we fare in, what's our score?
Score, poor. We're a fair way off, mate. I think we're sort of talking to a couple of people before game, was it Tom and Joe, and I think some people in the concourse just saying that we played these last year. What was it, January, I think? And they get every time they seem to come down, they give us a little bit of lesson. And yeah, I think the first half it was too easy for them. I think Michael's come out and said that we gave them a bit too much respect, but it's literally exactly that. We were just off. We were just a bit. It didn't look like we knew what we were doing with the press. We were just always a step behind. The press was off and they just kept picking us off. And they just were just playing around it. There was points in that first half where it was actually quite embarrassing how easy it was for them. And they weren't really breaking a sweat. We weren't getting anywhere near them. And we were lucky with Ash really keeping us in the game. And we only went in at 2-0 down. We had a little bit of a bright start. I get that. But after that, it was just so comfortable for them. And it was just a disappointing first half overall. Second half. Yeah, it was better. Had a little bit more flurry and got in good areas, but that was always going to happen. We're always going to have some sort of form of territory in the game, and we didn't do much with it. I know the XG says we were very good, But ultimately, XG doesn't mean much. Goals mean more than XG, and that's what the proof in the pudding says. We lost 2-0, so we might be doing well in top of the league of XG, but you don't get promoted for XG, unfortunately.
No, which is a shame because, like I say, we smashed it yesterday. Let's have a listen to the goals from Charlton TV. Your commentators, as always, were Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
This left-hand side, going to touch to Sheehan. Williams goes for the return. Ball to the edge of the box and Morley. Now back out to this right-hand side and Williams tries to curl it into the corner and does so off the post. Charlton left Williams all alone after the set piece. And he was able to pick his spot into the corner.
It's a goal off the training ground's help. That was deliberate, that move. We saw Morley look to his left, make the pass, and then the first time ball across to Williams, who could open his body up, and it's a wonderful finish with his left foot. You see the corner goes short, and then Williams would just stand still in an area. You watch this first time ball now to Williams, open his body up. It's a lovely finish. Yeah, tonight Watson maybe could get a little bit tighter, but Bolton had an extra man on the edge of the box.
Left hand side, still waiting for Thomas to come back on. Surely that's gone past the 30 seconds, but it's on the right hand side, and that might be why it's not coming on. Bolton feed it through to Dacus Cogley, ball back across to Charles, who picks up the deflection off of Fraser. I think it might have been, but it was Charles who picked up the loose ball and slammed it past Maynard Brewer.
Well, the question marks would be how long Terrell Thomas is there, but my question marks are more on the case of why aren't we tracking the runners? You know, we're down to 10 men for the time being. Get plenty of players back, get organised, and we didn't. You know, it looks like Fraser runs into the referee as Cogley makes a good forward run. It's not enough bodies back inside the penalty area, and you can't give Charles like that opportunities. But we switch off. Yeah, Thomas may well have, could have been on the pitch, but he wasn't. No, referees decided it wasn't. You get players back, you get organised, who's filling in at left back? I didn't see any of that from Charlton in that space of 20, 30 seconds there.
There we go, that's the highlights from Charlton TV. Cheers to Greg and Terry for the commentary and to Pups for the recording, as per always. Yeah, Sue, I mean, obviously a little bit of controversy over the second goal. We were hearing Terrell hadn't come back onto the pitch, so he'd gone beyond the 30 seconds, but Michael's saying because the ball was in that area of the field, the officials weren't letting him on. Fraser did run into the referee as well, which didn't exactly help. But yeah, the manner of the overall performance, like we were saying on Thursday, we probably needed a little bit of a boost just to get our belief back on track, you know, after the defeat against Lincoln. And if we could provide it against the Bolton side, then maybe it could have been a bit of a statement, but it felt like, particularly in the first half, a bit of a whimper, really.
Yeah, so we was talking after the game, and I said it's a weird one with Bolton, because I think historically it's always been one of them teams that we've never really done that well against. And I'm not sure what that's about, if it's just a coincidence thing, but we seemed very like we weren't playing as a unit yesterday. It seemed very individual, and I think like I'm reading a lot about like we shouldn't have played, Alfie can't play up front on his own, and I think we've talked about that before, but it just seemed really flat, and that constant ball chasing and not really making the most of those opportunities, because we did have opportunities. And again, I think that's the part that I agree with Michael in his interview, was the fact that he sort of said, like, people that normally would keep their heads and make a good effort at shooting at goal weren't necessarily as on it, or almost a bit panicky shot. So it's I'm not sure what that was about. It was just really odd. Obviously, I haven't been to a game for a while, and I'd been seeing how well we'd been doing, and then we've got two losses in a week. And I guess mentally, you're going up to somewhere like Wigan, which is a tough place to go. I'm not sure mentally. What's going on for the team, and some of the choices in the starting lineup was a bit odd as well. I think A lot of us, sorry, Lo, go on.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, you've mentioned the starting lineup. That was certainly a talking point. Spanfish saying the team on paper looked good. What went so wrong? But then others are saying, you know, what's the deal with particularly Louis Watson not starting? And I do ask Michael Appleton about that, Nathan. Do you think he's been a bit unlucky? I mean, are we overreacting? I mean, we've had two games now where Fraser started instead of Watson in that deeper role. And I feel like we haven't really dominated the midfield. But, you know, we can't forget the fact that Fraser was the one who played the great pass for the goal at Lincoln. So, you know, there's obviously benefits and negatives to both. But I mean, the line about Louis not really tracking back as much, which is pretty much what Michael said about the reason why he's not playing. I mean, does that apply to Fraser?
But you would say so. Yeah. I mean, the thing that surprised me yesterday is when I saw the three of them playing together, I assumed Pan was going to be playing a deeper role. And then I think I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure in the first half, Pan was the most advanced of the three. Maybe to help, obviously help Alfie with that press on those pivots, as I said on Thursday, but it just didn't work. I mean, the problem that we have is as soon as Dobbo go, which I think Dobbo had a pretty poor game yesterday, up to his standards, but I'm not saying he was the worst on the pitch. But the thing is when Dobbo goes to press, if he presses high, if they beat that press, we are royally up the paddle sort of thing. Because you've then got the last line of defence before you get to a dodgy defence at the moment is Scott Fraser. And I'm not being... Fraser's not renowned for his defensive capabilities, more of a dictator of a play. So I was surprised with that. And with Louis gives you energy. He gets around the pitch very well. He glides across the pitch very well, similar to Pan. So, yeah, I was surprised that Fraser started yesterday. And, yeah, he did play a good ball against Lincoln. But you do see him drifting out of games sometimes. And there's only so many times, yeah, he can play a good ball, but sometimes without the ball, you've got to do that as well. And I think we're so easy to play against. And that first half, they were in second gear. They were just knocking it around for fun. So I think for sure, I think Louis could count himself pretty unlucky. I don't know if he's, but I've obviously, he might not have trained as well as Fraser, or as you say, Michael's got an reason for it. But I was surprised that Louis didn't start yesterday for sure.
Yeah, and Chris Collingwood says that apart from Alfie and Louis Watson, when he came on, there's a real lack of movement in the team. Every time Bolton got the ball, they streamed forward. We just seemed to hesitate with the ball. Jay saying warning signs were there in the first 45 against Reading. They were better than us. The second 45 hides how poor we were. A decent team blows us away in the past three games. Because it is interesting, actually, just I was reading Ian Evitt's comments before the game. He was reacting to a question after their win at Wickham, where apparently it's become a bit of a theme for Bolton that they only play for one half, which is feels familiar, doesn't it? But that was picked up by Bolton fans and put to Ian Everett. And I mean, he said the difference with them is they're often winning at half time. So he wonders if they naturally play a different type of game because they have something to hold on to, which obviously we don't often have to hold on to. I think we've possibly only led in maybe one or two of Mickey Apple's games at half time so far. So we've always had work to do in the second half. Looking at the goals, the first one, Randall Williams, a fantastic finish. A short corner routine, the likes of which we could only dream of, Sue. I mean, it was a really well-worked one. But I guess you've got to be wary that if a team's going to ping you about and drag you out of shape, you've got to try and make sure that you don't leave anyone unmarked. And Randall Williams was the one who was given that space and he was able to curl an excellent finish beyond Maynard Brewer before, I think it was 10A, Watson was able to get out to him completely.
Yeah, I think, as Greg said in the commentary as well, and I think what we were talking off air about, again, you'll talk about it, but Michael saying that actually, it's a worldy shot. It's a great goal, but at the same point, you shouldn't, those sorts of players that are dangerous shouldn't be allowed to be able to get into those sorts of situations in the first place if you're defending properly. And I would say that maybe a little bit of naivety that Tanaya probably should have closed in on him a bit quicker. But like what you say, when it's pinging about a bit, people get dragged towards the ball and not the man. And that's where I think we're lacking in that kind of using that sort of initiative to sort of, right, okay, if I'm man marking this man, I'm not going to follow the ball. I'm going to follow the man. And they didn't do that. So, yeah, great goal, but he shouldn't have been allowed to have even got that shot away in the first place, in my opinion.
Yeah, second goal, Nath. So Terrell was off the pitch. I think everyone's aware now of the 30-second rule, that once you go off, you have to stay off for 30 seconds. That's brought in to sort of remove time wasting and people going down injured in added time at the end of a game to try and slow the game down. But obviously, when it's applied that way, it does feel a little bit like a punishment for us when a player is genuinely injured. It's sort of like using the sledgehammer to crack a nut, because you're making sure you get rid of the few people that time waste and then punish everyone who ever gets any form of injury. So that was frustrating. And yeah, Fraser, who, to be fair, like we were speaking about, does he track back or not? I think he was unlucky that the referee was right in his way when he went to go for a dart yesterday. So that we'll never know if he would have got back into the middle. But well, we did have three people around Dion Charles, and it was still him who was the quickest to react and get the shot away inside our penalty area.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in terms of the rule itself, I'm not going to go into it because I'll just lose my head on it. So I'll just focus on the goal. Fraser bumped into the ref or wanted a cuddle or whatever he wanted to do. And I get the frustration that Thomas wasn't there. But Greg said it on commentary. Just because Thomas is off the pitch, it doesn't mean you stop communicating. And we've banged on about it so much this season about leadership and communication. You need to still set up. I mean, let's have it right. It's not like Bolton had every single player apart from the goalie forward. They would have had their back four still there. So we would have had enough bodies to cover the spaces where he got it from. Yeah, we went out to press the ball and it, you know, there was a little collision between Fraser and the ref. But I still don't think you can excuse that from not doing the basics, I'm afraid. Like, you still, you know, if someone goes off the pitch, if your right back goes off the pitch, usually you'd usually go, right, someone fill in at left back, so and so forth, and then you set it up that way, get through the phase of play and then go back to normal. But so yeah, and even if Thomas was on that pitch, there's no guarantee we wouldn't have not conceded the way we're defending at the moment. So I'm not having an excuse for that goal either. I just thought they were clever and we weren't, basically. But frustrating for sure, of course it is, but that's the rules. We've got one in the gonads there, haven't we?
Yeah, Martin says, haven't had the extra hour to mull over yesterday's defeat. The same old Bolton turn up again. Strong, hard-working, solid, no-frills unit who know how to do a job. And I'm not disparaging Bolton whatsoever here, but I didn't think they even had to play that well, particularly the first half yesterday. That was the most frustrating thing for me, because like I tend to think we rate Bolton higher than the Bolton fans do based on whenever we see them, they play well. And we spoke to a couple of their pods last week and they were surprised by how much we rated them. But I didn't think they had to be great. Obviously they carried a threat in that second half as well on the counter attack, and they've got some very good players. But in the first half in particular, it was more down to that we really weren't at it and made it very easy for a side that are definitely going to punish you if you do so. Keith says, morning fellow addicts, that was dismal yesterday, wasn't it? Chris says, I wasn't there yesterday, but I was at Lincoln and that was woeful, so no surprise that we got well beaten by Bolton. Ray said, the team was set up wrong from the beginning. I can't believe it took Apple so long to change it. Maynard Brewer saved us from a hiding. The only others worth mentioning are Jones, Alfie, and a very tired Dobson. I mean, one of the things that stood out for me yesterday in the second half, which is partly why we, in the first half, I should say, is partly why we weren't at, is because both of our outlets yesterday didn't have great games. So Corey was quiet, you know, maybe marked out the game. TC, I felt, saw a bit more of the ball, but it just wasn't his day yesterday. And he did grow into it in the second half, which I was a bit relieved by, because I was concerned after that first half, you know, for how does that affect like a young player? And he did have a few moments in the second half. Obviously, he missed the header, which came in quite fast. But that was part of it for me yesterday. So it was in the first half particularly, you know, our players who we sort of trust to go and do things weren't at their game either.
Yeah, I think it was probably more noticeable with Corey, because we know what he's got in his locker in terms of what he creates. It just didn't seem like the usual Corey. I mean, yeah, Tyrese, I love Tyrese. He's just got that energy. But again, like you say, he's very young. He's still learning, and sometimes it takes him a while to grow into a game. So it's difficult when you're putting everything onto Alfie, and obviously everyone knows Alfie, they know how he plays, so he a lot of the time he doesn't get those opportunities in them type of games because they are so tight on him and he's not getting those chances. But yeah, it's just frustrating when you do see someone like Corey, who like we rate so highly, just not. And again, I think that probably is the same for some of our other players. Like when they're on it, people like Fraser, when they're on it, they are unreal. But then when they're not, it's just it completely throws the game. It's really frustrating. And why is it that they can't keep up that level of performance every game, or at least the majority of the time?
Yeah, I mean, all hell let loose, as Everett said, they saw a weakness at how we defend corners, and he says just one. I mean, that was part of, I was thinking, like, did they play that slick set piece, like short corner routine, because they knew that we fall asleep and don't track runners, so they knew that three passes and you can drag a bit of space in our area. It looked like it was really well worked, to be fair to them. And as James says, and we can discuss our front six till we're blue in the face, but with this defence, we are going nowhere. We could have Messi, Ronaldo and Kane up front, but it would still make no difference with our back five. We'll stick Kane in midfield after that goal we scored from the halfway line yesterday. Get him in the pivot role with Dobbo. Morning to Sid, who's joining us. Michael's saying, is there lack of movement down to fitness? If you have endless energy, you run around like nothing. If you don't, you can't. I mean, I've sort of like what we had been saying the last couple of weeks is we had seemed to up our energy levels since Michael had come in the door. But yeah, I don't know what exactly caused yesterday, other than I think it's probably the fact that we're just not as good as a side like Bolton, though. And it comes down to that benchmarking exercise. You know, one of the things I put in my takeaways this morning is I've done the math. So from games against sides in the top eight, which is the top third of the table, we've taken 2 points from a possible 18. You know, it feels similar to last year. Do you remember when our record against sides in the playoffs wasn't very good because they were better than us? The average position of teams that we've beaten so far this season is 17th. So the highest team we've beaten is Wickham in 10th. We've beaten a few down the bottom as well. So on average, you're sitting in 17th if you're going to lose to us. Is that an indication, Nath, of who we are and where we are?
Yeah, I mean, the stats don't lie, do they? I guess. Carol Vorderman sort of esque that was, Louis. But no, it's true. And I think that's where we are. I think we had that little bit of a run, which was nice. Don't get too high about it. But I think it's just sort of put us back into a little bit of a reality check, and that we're still mid-table-ish with an outside chance of happening. But as we all know, going forward, we're great on our day, but the lads behind them at the moment, it's not working. So, and if most times that's going to happen, you're going to be in the middle of the pack, and as your stats are backing up. But I'm even, like you say, yesterday we were just well beaten. Usually I come away from a game losing generally few minutes something, like usually disappointed that. But we were just well beaten yesterday. Bolton were better than us all over the pitch. And if you ask any Bolton fan, they'll probably say that probably weren't even in their top three performances of the season, probably. That's probably either middle to the bottom. They didn't really break a sweat. It didn't look like we had them under any serious, serious pressure. I know we had a flurry second half, but they looked fairly comfortable, really. I mean, you had that big old unit, that big old fridge at the back, who was a massive old tank that was. And then Bodvarsson come on. I was like, Jesus Christ. We just needed Jack Payne on the field and it would have been brilliant. But yeah, no, we're miles away, mate. You know, we're miles away. But I'm not going to get too down about it because we knew before the game, you know, where we were. We sort of know how good Bolton are, and they've had a good building process for the last few years. So not too down about it, but I think it's a good reality check for some of us, just in case some of us get a little bit excited of the run that we had before, including myself.
Yeah, well, we're all football fans. We all want to get on the train. We're on a good run. I keep myself firmly grounded by doing a graph on it. Keith says you've got to get it out. You know you want to. So let's have a quick look. Just gives you a slight indication of where we are you know, currently on our points per game, we're sort of on 59, which obviously isn't ideal. But the important thing is that you can see we're running below the blue line, which is where we need to be in terms of playoffs. So we need a run of results just to get us onto a par with where we want to be. It's not looking great at this moment in time. Three, four wins in a row can change that. So that's what hopefully will happen shortly. Andrew makes a good point. TC just needs to be positive and go for it. Yeah, it's when he's at his very best, when he's running at players. Dudley saying, we looked okay against poorer sides. We've looked poor when we played against vastly superior teams. It's simple. I run out of milk saying, do you think we're in a building process? I mean, we're constantly, what's that? Is it the cathedral in Brazil that they've never finished building? Like, it's just been, they've been building it for like 500 years. I think that's what we are. We're the footballing equivalent of that in Barcelona, not in Brazil. Not that I've ever had to compare us with Barcelona before. Chris says we've had no building process for years, finished nowhere every season, then get new players in. And no better, rinse and repeat. That's pretty much what we've been doing, unfortunately, except we don't have a big shiny cathedral to show for it. Right, let's hear from the Addicts boss, shall we? Mickey Apples came to speak to me after yesterday's game. Obviously, we touched on a few different talking points, that the team selection, the game, the controversy over the goals. And I did ask him what Charlton need to do to become one of the top six sides. Let's have a listen to what he had to say.
Against Bolton this afternoon, what did you make of the game overall?
Listen, apart from the two goals and the moment, I can't be too disappointed. I'm obviously disappointed to lose 2-0 against a good side, but I think looking back at the moments, I've just tried to look back at in the changing rooms there. Whether it comes to XG and all that, we're higher than Bolton. Now that might be hard to believe and read, but I can actually believe that, because I think that, sometimes, you know, when you find yourself behind in games, it's easy to sort of feel sorry for yourself and step away from it. But the way the players sort of reacted in the second half sort of gives me great confidence going forward.
Yeah, so you mentioned in the build-up to today's game that would be a good benchmark against a side that you expect to finish in the top half, or the top six, I should say. How do you think your side sort of balanced up against Bolton?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, first half we were a little bit shy of them. We were sort of weren't aggressive enough, and probably showed them a little bit too much respect. And listen, I'll take responsibility from that point of view. You know, we can be aggressive or a little bit more aggressive. Having said that, there was moments when I thought the players could have done that a lot more in the first half. But ultimately, I think obviously when you concede the goal, the first goal was a wonderful goal, but the second one, in the manner we did, you could feel it within the stadium. There was an anxiety about what had happened. And that's through no fault of the players, really, more than anything, because I think it was 38 seconds before the ball actually got back towards that half of the field and that period, that area of the field. But the biggest frustration for us, more than anything, was that Scott Fraser got blocked by the referee, so he couldn't track the run into the box. So it was almost like a double-edged sword, really. Like, you know, we were punished for having a player off the pitch and obviously punish them for getting an obstruction from the ref.
Is that what the referee said then? It was the 30-second rule, the reason that Terrell couldn't come back on?
It was more, not necessarily, it was the 30-second rule, but it was more that the fact that the ball, he said, was in the area of the field where Terrell was supposed to come back on. But the irony being that, but why wouldn't that? That's always going to be the case, because if the opposition have got anything about them, they're going to try and exploit the area of the pitch where the lad's off the pitch. But it was more sort of the ref obviously not recognising the fact that, you know, and understanding the fact that he actually blocked off one of our players as well and obstructed one of our players from actually affecting the play.
So in the second half, as you say, your side reacted a bit, but we're always going to have their chances on the counter. But were you pleased with that second half performance?
I think you have to be. Like I say, you know, I'm not really a massive fan on XG, but people are coming off the pitch telling me that we had the better chances, and that sort of speaks for itself, really. It's shown that they've got a little bit of grit about them, and I think we've shown that over recent weeks. We've been rewarded for it. Today we wasn't rewarded for it, but they've shown me enough that they're more than capable of certainly competing with the better teams in the division, and obviously I do believe that Bolton, if they don't finish in the top two, we won't be a million miles away.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of this was before you were here, but Charlton have only taken 2 points from sides in the top eight after from a possible 18. So what do you think it is that they have to do to make the step up to be sort of on that level?
Time. We have to be better. Of course, we have to be better. But I think over a period of time, you look at the lads that and the teams that are competing at the top end of the division. They've been doing it for a while with the same group of players. That takes a lot of practice, it takes a lot of time, a lot of courage, a lot of patience. Listen, and I think sort of come January you get an opportunity to mix it up a little bit, freshen it up a little bit, improve the balance of the group, and change the profile at times.
You've mentioned that a couple of times. What sort of profile does need to be freshened up with the squad?
Well, I think you can see, obviously, in the second half, in terms of how we approached it, we were a little bit more on the front foot because we had to. It's making sure that we've got a group that are comfortable of being on the front foot right from the start and knowing that you've got players, not necessarily just in the starting 11, but players in the squad as a whole who can deal with that and do it for 90 minutes. So, right, doing it for 45 minutes, an hour, or whatever it might be, but to do it for 90 minutes takes some doing.
Obviously, there's been a bit of a run of games, so there's always going to be chopping and changing. But one player the fans have noticed been out of the starting lineup a couple of weeks is Louis Watson. Came on again today. Why has he not been starting, and what does he bring when he does come on?
Well, what he does bring is he's a good carrier of the ball, he's a good passer of the ball. What a lot of people won't see, and this is just part of his development, is when obviously the opposition midfield run off the back of him, and that can hurt us at times. Louis's going to be a good footballer. We have to be patient with him. He'll get his minutes. He'll get his minutes at the right time. It's like anything. You win a game of football, everything's good. You lose a game of football, everything's bad. People want to see the negative side of everything, and I get that. I understand that. But ultimately, from an education point of view, development point of view, I've done it many times before, and I'll continue to do it with the likes of Louis.
Yeah. Dan Carney has obviously been scoring goals for Southend in his first game. Now that Chucks is out and it's only a short-term loan, is that something for you to think about when that's up?
I think it is. It's unrealistic not to. You've got to think about all your options. Obviously, you know, when I first came in, DK was chomping at the bit to get first-team football. We obviously had the option of Chucks at that time. Obviously, now that's gone. It's something that we can look at.
Is there any update on when Tyo Eden might be back? I know he was at the training session the other day.
He's had two training sessions, so, listen, he could have been on the bench today potentially, but the medical people are telling him he can only play 20 minutes. So the reality is if Terrell or Tanai would have gone down early doors, certainly Terrell, it would have been very, very difficult for him to come on, especially after an hamstring injury. So we just got to get the balance right, whether he's able to start a game and can get maybe, I don't know, 45 minutes out of him. But I think it's difficult to do that, obviously, when you're talking about league games.
Yeah, and Tuesday, Wigan, another tough away trip, another chance to improve upon the away form as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good challenge for us because, you know, we're aware that our home away form has to be better and can be better. And, you know, I think when you give players sort of challenges and put challenges in front of them, that's when you really find out, like, who can sort of deal with them situations. It was a difficult challenge at half-time in the sense of you 2-0 down against a side that are really flying and playing well. And they rose to that, you know. The sort of job at half-time was to try and win the second half. I felt we did enough to do that. Ultimately, that might not have won you the game, might not even got you a point. But they certainly had an attitude that in the second half, as much as they really wanted to go out and win the game.
Were you tempted to bring Miles on earlier? Because he certainly gave you more of a focal point once he came on.
Yeah, we were. But I also felt in the second half, it was almost like one-way attacks. They become a turnover team in the second half, whereas in the first half, they were a possession team. They become a counter-attacking team in the second half just because we sort of had them pinned in and pressed. So it's just getting that balance right of when the right time is, because what you don't want to do is take away the momentum that we had at that time as well.
Do you think, in terms of Tyrese, a bit of frustration in the first half, and some of it seemed to be directed at him? He's got to kind of deal with that, but as a young player, it probably doesn't massively help him, does it, really?
It doesn't, but listen, we got round him at half-time, and, you know, sort of tried to keep his belief within him. And I think that showed in the second half. You know, there's a lot of work that went into him at halftime. And, you know, I made a beeline for him as soon as that halftime whistle went. And just got him to sort of refocus and think about his game. And I was delighted the way he sort of responded in the second half because, you know, I did think he was a real threat.
Do you think with two defeats, is it like a wake-up call to Charlton fans, or maybe expecting things to get better and better, and whether, you know, it's like a reality check, if you like?
Maybe. Maybe. I think it's one of them where I think coming in, the likes of myself, Andy, and certainly the board and the owners, we knew this isn't a quick fix. You know, this is work that needs to be done over a period of time, and it's not going to happen overnight. I think what we need to do, and I think I've said this on two or three occasions, is we need to try and keep picking up points and staying in a place where we're in contention. I've given ourselves a chance because things will improve in January. There's no doubt about that. I think the reason why there's probably a little bit more hope than potentially there would have been in previous seasons is it's a little bit of an open league this year more than ever. And there's not like one or two teams sort of dominating, which makes it a little bit more interesting from top to bottom. So I don't want to take that hope away from our fans at all. I enjoy it and I like that side of it. I think there's maybe a little bit of realism, I suppose, over a period of time that might come into play. But there's still a belief within the group that they can, you know, do good things this season, and that goes right from the top to bottom. So as long as we've got that and we can still have that after days like today and moments like today where you've had back-to-back defeats, we'll be all right. We'll be fine.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello fellow addicts, I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, the River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. Just before the adverts there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Mickey Apples, on yesterday's game. It's quite a long interview, but I left it running after my questions because particularly the last question I found interesting about, I don't know, a sense of realism setting in. Nath, there's certainly been a change in tone maybe from Michael. I don't know if a change in tone is actually the right word, because I think, in fairness, in his very first interview he referenced the January transfer window a couple of months ago, we were saying we think that might be a record for a manager coming in and saying, right, let's get to January straight away, because obviously there's work to be done with the squad. So what does that say about how the summer's gone, that sort of stuff? Michael's obviously not impressed with elements of the squad. There's players that haven't been anywhere near it since he's come in. Obviously Chem Campbell, I think, barely featured. He came off the bench the other day. James Obanqua hasn't featured. You know, there's obviously things he needs to change. But yeah, a reality check is probably the phrase that comes to mind after what's happened the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think so. I think, like we said, we had a nice little bit of a run of form, which was great. And then I was more disappointed on Tuesday than yesterday, to be fair, against Lincoln. But yeah, he's come out numerous times and said that it's too young. He said that he needs some more senior pros in there. Whether that's in terms of just age, like, I don't get me wrong. I don't think he's going to go and sign 4 38-year-olds or anything like that. But I just think the piece about leadership, communication, just game management. We don't really manage games very well. So it'll be interesting what he did mention saying about January, because as you say, Chem Campbell, Charlie Kirk was on the bench yesterday, which I never thought I'd see that in front of Chem Campbell. But I don't know, maybe Charlie started training better than Chem, I don't know. But yeah, it's going to be interesting in January, because I said yesterday, if we're within touching distance of playoffs miraculously, it will be interesting how they then play it in terms of the transfer window. Because as you said, if they're saying it's an open league and we're in touching distance, then surely you have a go, right? But I don't know, it's going to be interesting. But obviously Michael seems to know what he wants, and you can tell, everyone can see it's imbalanced, the whole team, because you every week we're talking about, oh, why is Tedic out wide, or why is Alfie up front on his own, can he play on the left, who plays in a 10? Fraser can't play deep. You can tell how imbalanced we are. So it's going to be interesting anyway, say the least, come January.
Yeah, it was a good point. Yeah, but I mean, what you're in danger of doing there, Nathan, is applying logic to a situation which, not just saying this ownership, but all those Charlton ownerships have never really operated like that. So let's assume the worst and hope for the best. But yeah, we'll see what happens when it comes to the January window, if we are within touching distance, which, as the league is a little bit more open, as Michael said, then maybe we might still be. Right, we've kept in waiting long enough. It's guest fan time. A very important man joining us now. Daryl Chamberlain is an important man because he's a Charlton fan, of course, but he's also a local journalist who runs the Greenwich Wire site, knows everything about the local area. So we're going to speak to Daryl not only about football, but also about the controlled parking zone. Daryl is the man who sits through those boring council meetings, so we don't have to. How are you this morning, Daryl? Good to have you on.
I'm very well, Louis. Thank you for having me on. I don't like XG either, but...
Oh, good.
Thank you for the interview.
I only like it when I'm in a good mood and it says we deserve a win, but not when it tries to tell us that we did, but we've lost. I'm not sure about that. Yeah, what did you make of yesterday's game? What have you made to the start of the season? Are you looking forward to the January window as well?
Yeah, that was what I was thinking sort of during yesterday's match. You know, January can't come soon enough, really. Yeah, I've drifted in and out of it this season. Partly I've been away for a couple of matches, so I've not maybe seen enough of it. But yeah, yesterday it was a wake up call. I sat there thinking, why haven't we got a player like Santos? That kind of thing. I thought in some respects you couldn't take your eyes off that second half because so much was going on. I think you can tell there is some goodwill behind Apple, you know, for Appleton still, because I think that, you know, perhaps under previous circumstances, everyone would have walked out and gone to the pub at half time, I think, at 2-0 down. Whereas people did stick around, there is that bit of goodwill. So, yeah, if we can hold on till January, we'll see what happens.
Daryl, there's a long time till January, which we both know, but if you held the purse strings, how many players and what positions would you want to strengthen? I know what one of the answers is going to be, but how many would you try and get in?
I couldn't say how many, but from yesterday, looks like the defence. I think you could just see heads going down straight away all through the match, and that's to me, and I'm not particularly good at football tactics, but that just seemed to me that, you know, the clear thing is just the defence was switched off and was all over the place.
Hi, Daryl.
I see.
What would you, I mean, looking at the current squad as well, and I think we do, the boys always sort of make fun of me that I'm the rose-tinted glasses one. So I feel like you might be on my level with that. What, looking at, like, we keep concentrating on these negatives and the defence and stuff, but what would you say at the moment the current strengths are within the squad that we've got and how we can sort of bolster that in January and sort of enhance that more.
I think, I mean, looking at yesterday's team, Alfie May, you know, he obviously didn't have a brilliant game yesterday, but just generally, you know, yeah, he works so hard. George Dobson, obviously. Ashley Maynard Brewer. Yeah, you know, I think he does look like he'd run through a hail of bullets for you. You know, so I mean, yeah, there are you know, good things there. I couldn't really say how I would, you know, that, oh yeah, I think May needs service, basically. I think that's what he really needs. I think that's probably the thing that springs to mind the most.
Yeah, there's obviously elements of our side that are positive, as Sue points out, which sometimes after a loss we forget too much. But let's pivot now onto something that Daryl, I knew you'd be the expert on this, and it's something that has concerned Charlton fans over the last few weeks. I didn't want to speak about it only from our point of view because I don't know the details as much as you will, but it's been announced sort of recently, well, over the last few months, but now it looks like it's really going to happen. And you've covered it on your Greenwich Wire website here, that there's going to be an extension of the CPZ, the controlled parking zone around the club. So could you give us an overview on what the plan is and how this could affect match-going fans? Because a lot of Charlton fans are worried that it's going to really make it difficult for them to come to games at the Valley.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, first of all, that actually I have to blame Charlton for me being interested in council things, because the whole saga of the Valley years ago and following it through Voice of the Valley, and I mean, I think I was 15 at the time, just, you know, it was one of those things that made me think, what does go on around here? How does that work? So basically, Greenwich Council has a policy generally that it wants to have controlled parking zones across the borough. And that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone will need a permit, but you know, some other boroughs do it. Hackney does it. It's the one I can think of the most. That they want them across the whole borough to manage parking, because they, you know, believe they're, you know, try and control the number of cars, basically. And for Charlton, they have decided, and there was a consultation a little while ago, but I mean, this has been going on and off for years. To expand it to, I mean, the streets off the top of my head would include streets around Bramshaw Avenue going towards Westcombe Hill, streets around Coxmount Road, that sort of set of streets around just to the east of Charlton Lane. They're going to be permit parking as of maybe sort of, I would imagine, the new year, perhaps, you know, by the time they get the formalities for that sorted. And that's been consulted on, Afka Bartram's been talking about this on Charlton Live quite a lot. So that's already done. The big move now is to bring in a match day parking zone, which will mean anywhere in Charlton that will have permits coming soon, that includes now and the new zones, you would need a parking permit to park there before 9 p.m. on any match day. Which, I mean, that's the other thing, as I live here, I live a few streets in the Valley. There is a parking problem, but I think anyway. However, it's not the football club, it's people that live here, and it's the retail parks and it's commuters. Mm-hmm. I don't really see the football club as being a huge issue, particularly at the moment. So that's unfortunate. The Charlton Athletic Supporters Club say it's disproportionate. And at the moment, the plans are out to consultation. So, yeah, if you want to stop this from happening, or if maybe think it's a good thing, want it to happen, then you can get in touch with the council and state your views. I think it would be useful if you said how this affects, if you have a strong view in this, that if you could say how this affects you personally, rather than perhaps... rather than perhaps imagining other people, how it might affect other people. But, you know, let's say if you had, you know, have to take a relative in from somewhere and public transport just isn't an option, then perhaps that is something you could say that. Nathan's just dropped in a note to say that, how's this going to affect local businesses? It's a good question. I don't know, actually. It is often said that, I mean, businesses do worry quite a lot about parking restrictions. However, it does depend on the business, actually, sometimes. You know, it's often said that sometimes when parking restrictions come in, businesses actually aren't affected that much. But it really does depend on the business. I know, there's the barbers in Charlton Church Lane, for example. I don't want to break his confidence on this, but I know he worries about this kind of thing because a lot of his customers will come in, tradesmen, whatever, will come in, park up, get a haircut, go again. So that he worries about that kind of thing. So it will be a worry for business. How it quite pans out, it will depend on the business, depending on what they do. As far as whether you have to be a Greenwich resident, have your say. I think Greenwich residents and particularly Charlton residents are probably prioritised in this. However, other than there's anything stopping you from dropping them a line, I would also recommend, I think if you're outside the immediate area and inside, actually, to be honest, it may be worth dropping your, in Greenwich, if you're, it's worth dropping your local councillors a line. There's a wonderful site called writetothem.com, which will give you a list of your local councillors, and it'll also give you a list of your MPs. So it may be worth dropping your MP a line, even if they're not a Greenwich MP, for them to make representations on your behalf, because that, because it is going to affect people. I think, these decisions tend to be made in isolation. It's disappointing that there doesn't appear to be have been a conversation with the football club before this. I think they have been notified, but there doesn't appear to be a conversation. Unfortunately, the club hasn't responded to hasn't actually come back with a statement on this. I think for some people, if they said, well, we're going to do this, but we are going to make your life easier by doing, having some paid parking somewhere, or, introducing a park and ride somewhere. I mean, Valley Express is a sort of park and ride to an extent. Then, that might soften the blow for people and make it a bit more acceptable. But at the moment, it just seems to be very, it just seems to be done in isolation. And, it's not good, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew Whittons said, I can't see parking being an issue this season. I mean, it's clear that, crowds aren't great with Charlton at the moment. Obviously, the announced attendance and the actual attendance tend to be two different numbers for all clubs. But you can look around the ground at the moment and see what it actually looks like in SC7. And there will be concerns. I'll be interested to know the average age of our fan base as well, actually, and if that will play a part in how people travel. I live in Sidcup. I live not a million miles from the training ground. So it's not actually, as the crow flies, I'm probably 4 miles from the stadium. It takes forever to get there on public transport. I do go on public transport sometimes, or they're in the car other times. But for other fans, that's not a choice. So it could be a bit of a game changer for us, which I'm a bit concerned about. But Daryl, it's been great to have you on. Thank you for giving us your insight on that. I'll put the link to the Greenwich Wire website as well. Actually, just before you go, there is other Greenwich Wire Charlton content that you have to tell us about, because I read it after every game and I think every Charlton fan should do.
Yeah, sure. Superstars actually asked, would this go through Roland rather than the club? I think it would go through the club rather than the, I think it's a bit like if you live in a rented house, they wouldn't necessarily ask your landlord. They would ask you, I think. So I also publish Kevin Nolan's match reports after every home match game. And I've got to put his up now, actually. He's been writing for me. I used to run a site called the Charlton Champion, which is more of a sort of specific Charlton local site, but that's now been subsumed into the Greenwich Wire. And so I'm very lucky to have Kevin writing for me. I think he's one of those writers that you don't have to like football to appreciate his writing style and how he writes. It's very entertaining. And I'm appreciating how he's a little bit more glass half, full than most people, which I kind of appreciate. So, and particularly when I've not been to see a game, actually, I do enjoy putting up his stuff. So hopefully within the hour, Kevin's piece will be up on GreenwichWire.co.uk.
Excellent stuff. Right, Daryl, thanks for your time on this week's Charlton Live. Thanks for being this guest week's fan and for your expertise on local planning issues, which will affect the club and game-phone fans. So,
thanks,
cheers,
Lewis,
cheers for coming on. Cheers. There we go. That's Daryl Chamberlain from the Greenwich Wire, discussing obviously the game and a bit of an issue that's going to affect a lot of fans that people have asked us to talk about recently on the show. Right, let's have a look at a couple of emails that have come in. Chris said, well, that was pretty rubbish, talking about yesterday's game. Surprised that the Lion Apples chose, as we don't seem to have learned anything from Lincoln. Until it becomes solid at the back, we are going nowhere. Mind you, it could have been worse if it wasn't for Ashley Maynard Brewer. Carl said, I have to question Nath. I have a question for Nath as the tactical mastermind. Why do we play so narrow in our setup without the ball in the first half? You talk on Thursday about how much of their play comes from wide positions. We saw how well last season Santos can play at sweeping those balls across the pitch. It felt like we played to their strengths and gave them an out ball for the entire first 45 minutes. Did you pick up on that, Nath?
That we were playing narrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think is if they tried stifling it out, because that's where they predominantly play. So they usually tend to play it out, and then they tend to go out to that Cogley on the right-hand side, usually. So I can only think we tried stifling them out, forcing them out that way, and then seeing if they could get down the sides of us, which I think they did go in between our left-back and our left-centre-half, didn't they, both occasions? So it didn't really work out. But, yeah, I think – I don't know why for that game, but – yeah, we just seem to play. I just think they were just a step above, to be honest. I don't think even if we were too expansive, they would have just played through the middle. And like I said earlier, with George Dobson, he's your sort of only sort of defensive-minded player. And then when you're going to have him on his own with Fraser next to him, they're going to get through. So maybe he just wanted to pack out the middle to try and see if we could stifle them that way. That's the only way I could see it happening.
Yeah, Duncan says... Bolton are our benchmark and we're a long way off. The gap has grown from last year. Their movement, fluidity and the way they pass the ball meant it looked like they had an extra player on the pitch. I love their corner routine for the first goal. Old for us to have that imagination and players execute such a plan. Yes, the second half was better, but even if we scored, I'm sure Bolton would have gone through the gears and scored more. Simon said, first time in a while at the Valley yesterday, we were awful. Does Appleton watch the side? What's the opposition, or just stick to 4-3-3? I mean, it's not really a 4-3-3. It's more of a, what do you call it, like a 4-2-3-1, which sort of, it says, putting Alfie, though, up top against their big centre-backs just isn't his game. He had no service, and he couldn't win the ball. Right, we've got a tough game coming up on Tuesday, Sue, up at Wigan. We've just started to hit the heights a little bit. You know, obviously, they started quite well, had a bit of a losing run. Now they've won their last three games in a row. Obviously our away form has not been good enough. We're now on a bit of a downturn as well after two defeats. So how do you see us attacking this one? First question, does Louis Watson start over Fraser? That's the first question, I guess.
I would hope so, but who knows? I think I said earlier, Wigan is one of them tougher places to go. And like you say, they've gone on a little bit of a run after a bit of a wobbly start. But I think it's then when we look at it, and someone mentioned it earlier, we do tend to raise our game against the better sides. So it's one of them. Like, I'd be really chuffed with a point. Obviously, I'd be buzzing with a win. But when you go into those tough northern sides that are like just big and rough, and It's hard to play your game. And I guess as well, like we've queried, what is our game? How do we best set up? Because I think we still don't know our best starting 11, even though we've discussed it on here. It's going to be a tough match up there. And I think, yeah, we definitely need to make some changes in the team. I think, yeah, definitely bringing Louis in would be a good boost. And then I'd query about Miles starting as well. He came on and he has got that strength. And I think him pairing with Alfie potentially could get us some goals. So I don't know. I'm not a manager, so I'm not going to pick the side.
Yeah. I've always said, thank goodness, we don't have to make these decisions. I mean, even when we tried to do the best 11 a few weeks ago, we never even got to the front line because he then changed formation and completely ruined it for us. But yeah, I mean, the decisions to be made. Paul Davenport says, Louis is far more dynamic than Scott, even when the latter is fit. I mean, yeah, I wonder if that has played a part in it. You know, Fraser's still coming back to full fitness. What does full fitness look like for Scott Fraser in terms of ground cover, that sort of stuff? And has that made a difference for us? Nath, I mean, it is a tough away game. Obviously, our away form has been poor. I mean, my plan for the game on midweek will be just absolutely bomb as many attacks down Wigan's right-hand side as possible.
Yeah, I think so. I think so with Sean Clare playing. I don't know if Seth played yesterday, but I don't know if he's playing at left fullback or left wing back rather. But yeah, Corey versus Sean Clare will be interesting. And I think if he plays Tedic on that right-hand since against Sessegnon, little man versus the big man, that could be interesting as well. So I think I'm not super confident, but I'm a lot more confident us playing Wigan than we're due to play Pompey, put it that way. But it wouldn't surprise me if Pan comes out just to manage his minutes and Louis comes in and you put Fraser in a bit of a more advanced position. It wouldn't surprise me if that happens. But again, I'm not too sure. But we've got choices. And as Sue said, I ideally want to come away with something on a wet Tuesday Halloween night in Wigan. It's a bit of a scary proposition, pardon the pun. Yeah, hopefully we can get something for the game. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Corey versus Sean Clare, or Sean Clare and Cess combo onto Corey. I still think Corey will win.
Yeah, excellent. Right, we've run out of time on this week's Charlton Live. Thanks to everyone who's joined us live in the chat on the show or caught up on the YouTube stream or via the podcast afterwards. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and where you get your podcasts as well. Massive thanks to Daryl, who joined us as our guest fan, spoke a bit about football and a little bit about the massive parking issue that's about to potentially keep a lot of more less mobile fans away from the ground, so they can't park nearby. So that is a real and significant problem for the club. Massive thanks to Sue and Nath, as for always. A pleasure to chat with you both.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you both.
Ladies.
I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. Don't forget, we'll be back on Thursday to look back at the game against Wigan. And then we'll be focusing our attention on the FA Cup clash with Cray Valley Paper Mills next Sunday. That will mean we won't be live next Sunday. Just marking your card for that, because obviously the game won't have happened yet. So we'll probably miss next Sunday, but we'll be back this Thursday anyway to look ahead to that game and see how we go on at Wigan. Thanks for listening. We shall see you later.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.